My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Wednesday. We got a lot to get into over the course of the next 4 hours. Rex Hudler is going to join us on the show coming up at 3:30. It's been a while since we've had a chance to catch up with our guy, Rex Hudler. He will be on the show coming up in 90 minutes. We have a lot to talk about. We'll talk some baseball. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk a little bit of Olympics that get going here in a couple of days with the opening ceremony. The NFL season is about to start. The Olympics are about to start. This is a really exciting time in the sports calendar. We are happy that you are here with us on 610 Sports Radio. Before we begin today's show, I once again want to thank everybody that came out yesterday for our College Football 25 tournament. Had a lot of fun. Enjoyed meeting a lot of you yesterday. Hopefully we get another opportunity to hang out with one another. Special thanks to Level Up. They were great. A-plus partners on this thing. Really had a lot of fun. Hopefully we can do this again. Maybe we'll do this for Madden that's coming out in a couple of weeks. I don't have any interest in playing Madden, but some of you may have interest in playing the new NFL video game. Again, special thanks to our friends over at Level Up. We'll get into the NFL in just a bit, but before we do that,
pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now, 913-586-7610. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have absolutely taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella with all organic tomato sauce and locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wine. So whether you're hungry enough for a whole pie or a slice or two will suffice. Be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and you also want to stay up to date on the Kansas City Royals, the best place to do that is with us right here on 610 Sports Radio. I want to start today's show a little bit differently because I would say that the year of 2024 has been the year of being the biggest hater. Now, things got kicked off at the very beginning of the year with Cat Williams. You guys might remember he did that explosive interview with Shannon Sharp. Oh, he had something to say about everybody. He had something to say about Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, Kevin Hart. If you have ever told a joke, Cat Williams probably is not a big fan of yours. It was a good way to get things going for 2024. It then continued with one of the biggest rap beefs that we have ever seen between Drake and Kendrick Lamar. It is okay to not like somebody. Well, we might have to give somebody the label, the title of biggest hater in the National Football League. So right now they are doing the NFL Top 100. And they're just started this process. So if you did not know this, you are not that far behind. They asked Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm sure you guys know that. Hey, who do you think is the best player in the National Football League? Listen to this.
And who's the number one player on the
On the what? I'm not saying him. I give credit when it's due, but I'm not saying his name.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I'm not saying his name, brother. I'm sorry. Joe Burrow. I'm not saying that guy's name. He's good. He's amazing. He's good. Not gonna lie. I'm salty, though. I'm a little salty. 2 years in a row. But I'm putting Burrow first.
Now, I imagine that some of you are very upset at the comments. And I'm sure that when Patrick Mahomes was scrolling through this and he saw it, or somebody said, hey, did you see this? I'm sure that he gave a little bit of a chuckle. It's funny. It's amusing. Let's really dive deeper into this. Man, I understand why Ja'Marr Chase doesn't like Patrick Mahomes. If I was another player in the National Football League and that wasn't my quarterback, I would probably hate Patrick Mahomes too. Great family, great organization, all the endorsements in the world, all the money in the world. One day Patrick Mahomes is going to be Peyton Manning. He's going to have the Mahomes cast and he's going to be America's sweetheart. And he's going to have all the championships, and you are going to have so few of them. That would make me mad, too. It would grind my gears. I also would be salty. You shouldn't take offense to the fact that Ja'Marr Chase feels this way or says this about Patrick Mahomes. You should smile because it's happened. You have the biggest on-the-field villain in the National Football League. Yes, there's villains for things that they have done off the field, but I'm talking about a guy on the field that you hate to be matched up with because you know it's a problem. Think about who NFL players are. We are talking about the type A's of type A's, the ultimate alpha males, people who never want to admit that they're wrong, never want to admit that they can lose, never want to admit that they're not the best. Even you have to bend the knee to the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. You heard him. You got to give Mahomes his credit. How can you not? Two-time NFL MVP, three-time Super Bowl champion, future NFL Hall of Famer, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like, you can hear the respect in Ja'Marr Chase's voice. You got to respect him. That doesn't mean that you have to be a fan of him. Many of you grew up with respect for Mike Krzyzewski, but you hated Duke. You got respect for the North Carolina Blue, but you hate the Tar Heels. That's who the Chiefs have become. They have become Alabama. They have become Duke. They have become Ohio State. They have become a team that you got to give credit to, but you hate them. I tell you guys this all the time. I got nothing but respect for Kansas basketball. We've never had any issues with KU basketball. Anytime we've asked for something, football, basketball, going to their home games is fun. They got the rules of basketball. It's a great atmosphere, great energy. Man, I hate KU. And it's okay to say that because I cheer for their rival. If anything, how I hear these comments is there is only one team in the NFL that feels like they can talk this way about the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's Cincinnati. That's not the way that Baltimore talks about Kansas City. That's not the way that Buffalo talks about Kansas City. Name your team in the AFC. They're not willing to say this or go to this length in regard to the Kansas City Chiefs.
And who's the number one player
on the what? I'm not saying him. I give credit when it's due, but I'm not saying his name.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I'm not saying his name, brother. I'm sorry. Joe Burrow. I'm not saying that guy's name. He's good. He's amazing. He's good. Not gonna lie. I'm salty, though. A little salty. 2 years in a row. But I'm putting Burrow first.
This is why we love the NFL. This is why we love sports. This is why we love competition. I don't want all of the players in the NFL to like each other. I don't want all the teams in the NFL to be cool with each other. I don't want all the teams trading jerseys at the end. We've been just trying to kill each other for the last 60 minutes and fighting for every inch. I ain't dapping you up after the game. Call me a sore loser. Call me salty. Whatever you want to say. I don't like them. It's okay to not like everybody. I love it. I love the fact that Cincinnati feels this way towards the Kansas City Chiefs. It makes it interesting. And now I'm not saying that they have had a lot of success doing this. There are only two people right now that can say that they've gotten the best of Patrick Mahomes. One of them is retired and about to be calling games for Fox here in a couple of weeks. The other one is Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. There's only one team that knows they can stand up to Kansas City. Baltimore thinks that they can. The Eagles think that they can. San Francisco thinks that they can. There is only one team that knows they can beat Kansas City. So we can throw out a lot of different teams, and a lot of different teams are good answers. Hey, who's the biggest contender to Kansas City? Is it Baltimore? Is it Buffalo? Is it Houston? Is it fill-in-the-blank team in the AFC? And you may be right in whatever team you pick. I will continue to believe that it is a healthy Cincinnati team led by a healthy Joe Burrow. You need that chip on your shoulder. You need that swagger. You need that attitude of, we are not afraid of him. We have seen teams terrified of Patrick Mahomes. We have seen defenses terrified of the Chiefs quarterback. There's one team I know doesn't share that mentality. And it makes it fun. It makes it enjoyable. That's why the NFL is the most popular league in the world, because of that. I can't wait to see these two teams play each other. Think about the start of the season. Kansas City plays Baltimore. Baltimore hosted their first ever AFC championship game last year. We have seen Baltimore win two Super Bowls. Never seen them host the AFC championship game until last year. Last year, it's your first time hosting this game since you were the Baltimore Colts back in the day. You had Ray Lewis in town. You had Ed Reed in town. They had Michael Phelps out there doing the coin flip. Baltimore pulled out all the stops to beat Kansas City. It still wasn't good enough. San Francisco had another chance in the Super Bowl, another lead at halftime, and it wasn't good enough. Chiefs fans, I want you to just sit here. And you know how you feel about John Elway? You know how you feel about Peyton Manning? There is a you somewhere in Cincinnati, Ohio, that feels the exact same way about Patrick Mahomes. Man, you got fired up to see your team play. And that quarterback ripped your heart out and continues to do it. You have now become the bully. After years of being the bullied and the no punt game and Lynn Elliott, you now have those memories and those moments over other people. Doesn't it feel good? We always joke and say on the show, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. You have the gun. Keep shooting. I know Patrick Mahomes is going to keep shooting. All they've talked about is winning another Super Bowl. Don't let this organization get that third one. And you think the hate is turned up right now. You're telling me it's going to be another season of Taylor Swift, another season of Patrick Mahomes, another season of Travis Kelce, another season of pop star love, and they win again at the end, and Mahomes has that picture where he has three of them in a row, and he has done something that no other quarterback in the league has ever done? It could be a special season for the Kansas City Chiefs to shut people like Ja'Marr Chase up. I cannot wait to see what happens. Coming up on the other side, let's transition. Let's switch gears. It is time to play our favorite game. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? We'll tell you what the attendance was yesterday. We'll let you know what the promotions are today. And this is the final game of the series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. So if you want to play, we need four callers. 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. If you want to guess the Royals' attendance, we'll do that next. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to play the game that is sweeping the city. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight? Unfortunately, the Royals lose their first game of the second half of the season. But you know what? The Royals have a chance to win the set today against the Arizona Diamondbacks. We will have Rex Hudler on the show coming up at 3:30 today. You guys know the rules. Price is Right style, closest to the number without going over, wins a pizza. Before we play the game, let us tell you what the attendance was yesterday and who won, and also let you know what the promotions are tonight at Kauffman Stadium.
Carrington, we had 21,993 at the K last night, which means
they got 21,000 during a weekday game.
They were seven short.
Oh my goodness, they were doing that on the weekends in the summer or in the fall.
They were seven human beings short of 22,000 people. Ooh. On a Tuesday night.
Salute
from out at our friends at Level Up. We had Josh as the winner yesterday.
Shout
congratulations
to Josh.
Today, Carrington, we have one promotion. It is Topps Baseball Card Giveaway. The first 10,000 fans receive a Topps Baseball Card.
What? What kind of promotion is this?
Baseball cards.
Okay. All right. Hey, maybe that gets the people out there. I didn't think they were going to get 22,000 on a Tuesday to go out to the game against Arizona, and they did. You told me. Now, I don't know if this is accurate or not. You told me Friday, if you don't have your tickets for Friday already, you need to be making plans to get your Friday tickets right now, Rob, because it sounds like they're about to get gobbled up. Is that correct?
The rumor on the street, and this is what I heard via the text line yesterday, so the ultimate grain of salt is that Friday is trending toward, if not already, a sellout. So Friday night could be a big day for the big league club at the K.
It could be the biggest game of how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium that we have ever had on Friday. All right, enough of me. Let's get to you guys. I mean, Rob, I'm looking at it right now. Even the uppers are going for a lot. The cheapest ticket right now on StubHub for Friday is $41. People are going out to Kauffman Stadium this weekend. But that ain't got nothing to do with today's game. All right, let's play here. Jake, we have to ask you the most important question. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
19,134.
19,000. Say it one more time.
19,134.
Okay. All right, Jake, I appreciate you. Thanks a lot for calling in today. All right, Ron, you are next up. I'm going to ask you the same question. How many people you got heading out to the stadium tonight?
Let's go with about 16,700.
16,700. All right, expecting a big dip in attendance for tonight's game. Jeremy, you called into the drive. I appreciate you, Jeremy. How many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight?
I'm going to guess 18,444.
18,444. All right, Jeremy, appreciate you. Last one, Neil, you called into the show today. Neil, how many people you got out of Kauffman Stadium?
Guys, I believe the hype is real, but definitely not dollar dog night type, so I'm going to go a little bit in between everybody at 18,715.
All right, 18,715. Neil, appreciate you. Thanks a lot for participating. And how many people you got going out to Kauffman Stadium tonight? All right, Rob, I will ask you the same question. What do you think the attendance will be tonight?
I think Neil's on the right path. We see a dip. I think there's a dip from dollar dog night. But I don't know that it's like some massive dip. Good weather, good ball club playing ball right now. Bobby Witt's the best player in baseball. That does get the people out. I would say 18,200.
Okay, so the attendance this week has been weird. They got 16,000 on Monday, and they got 22,000 people out there. Very rarely do you see that kind of jump on a weekday. I do think that the dollar dogs is a draw. That's why you do it. It's one of the best promotions that they have. I do think we see a little bit of a dip, maybe not as much as you think. I'm kind of more in line with what Neil said. Put me at 18-1. Put me at 18-1 today. I think they do well today, but not close to what they did on Tuesday. This weekend, I mean, this weekend's a big, big weekend. They've got the Cubs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You guys already know Friday and Saturday are going to be big. I saw the weather earlier today. I was on Fox 4. The weather is going to be great over the course of the weekend. And you got the Sunday day game. They'll do well for that, too. I actually think that Friday is going to do better than opening day. I think Friday is going to be the biggest game that they have had so far this season. You play one of the more popular teams in the National Football League, or excuse me, in Major League Baseball. You play a team that has a legitimate national pull and draw. A lot of people from Chicago, Cubs fans, will want to go out there and see their team. And you're doing Patrick Mahomes bobblehead. It's the best promotion, the best giveaway that they have for the season. So I actually think that Friday is going to be their biggest attendance of the year. I think they're going to do better on Friday than they did on opening day.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. But I remember, I believe it was the Cleveland series, where we came on the show Monday and we applauded the Royals fans for showing up in big numbers over the weekend. They got 90,000 plus out there over a weekend. Like, it was a great weekend against the Guardians, that four-game set. I think that whatever they got in totality for that series is going to be left in the rearview mirror. I think this Cubs series has a chance to get 32 plus every day. The Cubs alone are a national brand. And there are probably people who go to Mizzou, go to Kansas, that are college kids that are from the Chicago area that might come in. They might be in town already for school because it's nearing the end of July, early August. There is a national draw to the Cubs. It is Mahomes Day. The Royals are playing great baseball. It feels like Cubs-Royals could do 32-33 every single night out there at the K.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, you see 95-degree days and you call that great weather. Ha, 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 you masochist. I would like to point out that tickets to a Royals regular season game is better than a Chiefs playoff game because none of you want to go out there when it's cold. None of you want to go out there. Rob, you remember that playoff game against the Dolphins? Y'all was giving them away. People hadn't hit you up. You hadn't talked to people since you graduated from Winnetonka. Hey, I got extra Chiefs tickets. You want to go? No, I don't want to go. No, thank you. I don't want to go. Yes, Friday night is going to be great weather. Saturday night is going to be great weather out at Kauffman Stadium. It's Firework Friday. The Cubs are in town. It's going to be a great night out at Kauffman Stadium. I'm excited to see the crowds this weekend. We got Rex Hudler coming onto the show in just a bit. Let's continue to talk about the NFL, and we'll get to baseball again here in a little bit when we join by Rex Hudler. Have you already seen the early top 100 in the National Football League? Have you already seen it?
I've seen a couple names leak out.
What's the name that you saw leak out? Because there,
Aaron Rodgers. That's the one that hit my timeline like you wouldn't believe.
I know I'm not the only one. I am not crazy. Now, my understanding of the list is based off what you did last season, right? It's based off what you did last year. What did you do? What did you accomplish? Aaron Rodgers did not play football last year. He can't be on your top 100 list. Just leave him off and then explain why he was left off the list. Or if you're going to put him on the list, then put him where you would put him on the list if he was fully healthy. Rob, it would make more sense to me if you put Aaron Rodgers at 13 and just said, we think he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks and have a bounce back year. Putting him at 97 is just insulting to all of our intelligence. I'm not even the biggest Aaron Rodgers believer coming into this year. He's better than the 97th best player in the league, though. How did Trevor Lawrence make this list, too? I will continue to bang this drum that you guys have made Trevor Lawrence the most overrated player in the National Football League. He threw 21 touchdown passes and 14 interceptions yesterday. He was Gardner Minshew, who went to a bigger college, and he's one of the top 100 players in the league. Why don't we continue to do this with Trevor Lawrence? We make every other athlete earn it on the field other than Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence played well one college football game. We just have anointed him. He's one of the top 100 players in the league. Not on my list. Not with that mediocre season that he put together. You can't decline in every single statistic. Your team missed the postseason in one of the weakest divisions in the league, and I still consider you one of the top 100 players in the league. He was down in completion percentage, down in yards. He threw four more touchdowns and almost threw double the amount of interceptions. Stop it with Trevor Lawrence. I will continue to be anti-Trevor Lawrence. It doesn't make any sense.
This is the major flaw with having players do this list. Players have a pretty good sense of the top 25 guys in the league. We opened the show talking about Ja'Marr Chase. He might be a hater. He might never want to let the rivalry die. Cool. But I think he knows in his heart of hearts who the best player in the league is. And I think if you ask most guys, hey, who are the top 10 to 15 dudes in the league? They would have a really good idea. But we're trusting them to build a top 100 list? You're telling me a guy who plays for the Seattle Seahawks was watching enough football on Sundays to tell me how good or bad Trevor Lawrence was. He may have only seen Trevor Lawrence highlights during his bye week. They need to have the media do this, or they need to trim it down from 100. Because players coming off the practice field last year, it's not the best way to determine a top 100. It's not.
I don't believe that players fill this thing out.
They say players do, I guess.
Yeah, I don't believe that players fill this thing out. I really don't. I've thought this from the very, very beginning. I don't think that you were getting players around the league to sit down here and tell you who they think is the 67th best player in the NFL. I believe that players sit down and maybe tell you the top 10. I believe that. If you're telling me that you got a group of 25 players together and they sit there and they do this, yeah, I would believe you. I do not believe it. I've never thought that from the very beginning. I think it is content for NFL Network. They tell you it was done by the players. You can never fact check it. How many NFL player podcasts out there? I feel like we would hear a story about this at some point. Do you ever hear a story about this? How many NFL players got a podcast right now? Michael Parsons has one. Cam Newton has one. We could go up and down the list. You never hear stories about people filling this out. When do they fill it out? How do you fill it out? When do they come to you? When's the cutoff date? What's the criteria? There's a lot of questions I would want to ask a player. Never get them. Because I think it's fake news.
So you think Brad G's out here filling it out?
There's not a single player that would put Aaron Rodgers in 97. Not a single player.
Jets players would.
No, there's not a single player. The only person that would put him in 97 is Dr. Fauci. There is not another person that would put Aaron Rodgers as the 97th best person in the NFL. Stop it.
I mean, Randall Cobb keeps getting paid by that guy. He probably has him at one. That's my meal ticket.
One with a star next to his
name. Alan Lazard has him at 1 through 100. Just all of them. I got paid because of that guy.
Yeah, number one with a bullet point. 100%. That is definitely what happened. Let's continue with the NFL. Did you see the story that Bill Belichick was contacted by Kyle Shanahan for a job? And Bill Belichick declined said job. Now, I don't want to call Bill Belichick washed because he might come back. You know, that kind of football mind, that kind of football pedigree and expertise. Next year, he will probably be a head coach in the National Football League. Can you imagine you used to be that guy? The number one person in your profession. The absolute best player in your profession. The top of the top. People think you are the greatest. And over a course of 12 months, you have one of the three worst teams in the league. They fire you. And then somebody who called you for advice, I'm sure at some point. You remember when he was a little kid running around the practice facility. That guy then calls to offer you a job underneath him. You want to talk about life comes at you fast. It wasn't that long ago, man, that Bill Belichick was winning championships. It really wasn't. It was in the last 5 years that Bill Belichick had won a championship, and we considered him the best coach in the National Football League. And some people were arguing that he was more valuable than Brady during all of this. And now fast forward. You're dating a 23-year-old. You're out of the league. And now your little homie's kids are calling up, offering you a job. You have been in charge of a Fortune 500 company. You were the head coach. You were the GM. You were the head motivator. You were everything for the New England Patriots. They're not even going to let you be the defensive coordinator. They always want you to be an assistant. You got to report to somebody if you're Bill Belichick. There's no chance I'm taking that job if I'm Bill. I made a lot of money. You know what? I'm just going to take my little money from the Pat McAfee show. I'm going to take my little money from going on the Bill Simmons podcast. I'm going to take my little money from signing up, signing autographs, doing some appearances. But there is no chance that I'm getting up early. This is on West Coast time, too. I got to get up early in the morning and I got to report to this 35-year-old man. Absolutely not. Bill, I'm on your side here. Don't take that job.
I mean, I understand why he didn't take it. I do. But would it have been a bad idea for him to take it? Because let's be honest, the NFL coaching circles now, every year in the hiring cycle, you know what we see? They're hiring 30-somethings. They're hiring young guys. It's not a lot of 55-year-old or pluses getting hired. And the ones that do, we all make fun of in the media and say that's going to fail. See Vic Fangio. We all knew that ain't going to work. So would it have been the worst career advice that, hey, go be a defensive coordinator? The defense is going to be good. Like, you have Bosa, you have Fred Warner, you have the pieces to be a good defense, you have a good GM in John Lynch, you're a Super Bowl-ready team, go be the DC, have a good defense, stay front of mind for NFL GMs and owners, and then go get a head coaching job. Like, it might be harder on his body, it might be, you know, more mentally taxing than doing the McAfee show once a week, but I think it might be better for his chances to be an NFL head coach again if he were to do this. Like, we now know the word on the street is Kraft told his buddy in Atlanta, don't hire Belichick. And now he's going to be a pundit and thinks, all right, I'm back. When his best friend Saban is saying, listen, I'm cooked. What? I think DC would have been a good move, good career move for him.
You know what you're not interested in doing when you've been that guy? You're not interested in now having to report to somebody else. You have had total 100% autonomy and control of an organization. If you and Josh McDaniels disagree, you always win the argument. If you and Jared Mayo disagree, you always come out on top. No, I'm not interested in doing that. That was something I was fine to do back in the New York Giants days. I've had complete control over a team for the last 20 years. I'm not interested in going back. No. Not at all, especially for somebody who is less qualified than I am. I love Kyle Shanahan, great coach. He never won a championship. He can't tell you how to get you to the Super Bowl. He never won one before. I won this at your old job when you were a coordinator, when you blew it to my team. And I've won it as a head coach, something you've never done. So no, I'm on Bill's side here.
We see head coaches take DC and OC jobs all the time.
Not guys that are nearly as there was no world in which Andy Reid, after leaving Philadelphia, was signing up to repair his image by being the offensive coordinator for one of these other coaches in the league. Not when you reach that level and you got money. At this point, you've made a decision if you want Bill Belichick to be your coach or not. The resume is the resume. He is the most accomplished head coach in the history of the National Football League. It's all there.
I'm just saying, I think he's going to fall out of sight, out of mind, and his coaching prospects in 2024, or I guess into the 25 season, are going to be thin. Like, who do you think is going to get a job first? I guess not first, but next. Matt Nagy, if they win a three-peat and he's OC, or Bill Belichick? I know Matt Bill Nagy. Belichick's the better Matt coach, Nagy. But Matt Nagy's getting a job first.
I think the only team that would hire Bill Belichick is the Cowboys. I think there's only one team. I think if the Cowboys fall off the rails this year or have another disappointing exit, I think they fire Mike McCarthy, and I think that Jerry Jones will run to go hire Bill Belichick. It will be considered a home run hire from his fan base. He is a better coach than Mike McCarthy. That's the only team that I think that would hire him. Think about the trend that the NFL is going in. You want a younger, offensive-minded head coach. We ain't hiring the 70-something-year-old defensive coordinator-minded coach. No, not at all. No, I understand why Belichick had a tough time. I think that Belichick, in a lot of ways, has struggled to adapt to the game. The game has changed even since the last time that he won the Super Bowl. This is a very different National Football League, and I don't think he was quick to realize that. You want to know how I know? He drafted Mac Jones. Everybody who watched Alabama could have told you exactly what was going to happen with Mac Jones. And that's not the quarterback that has success anymore in the National Football League. Think about all the really talented quarterbacks right now in the league. Which of them can't take off and run? I'm not saying you need to be a scrambling type. You don't need to be Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson. You have to have some semblance of mobility. You got to be Herbert. You got to be Tua. You got to be an athlete. There is not a single person that would consider Mac Jones to be one of those kind of players and to be an athlete in that regard. I think that was an example that the league has led them by, and they've really struggled to develop offensive weapons. If you can't develop running backs and wide receivers anymore in this league, I just don't know how you expect to win at a very high level, which explains why after the Patriots lost their significant advantage, which was having the greatest quarterback that we have ever seen, they have just really struggled since then to develop offensive skill position players, and that's how you win in the National Football League. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up on the other side, let's talk a little bit of baseball as the Royals continue to be one of the hottest teams in the sport. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
I want to read a tweet to you guys. This information comes from Jeff Passan of ESPN, who has become the best baseball reporter in the world. Quote, the Royals remain interested in adding another late inning reliever and also a bat. They would prefer to grab an outfielder. Quote, the Royals are among the game's most active teams looking for upgrades. Man, is that encouraging to hear. You know what? I like hearing that the Royals understand the sense of urgency of the situation. Now, I know what the text line is probably going to say. You don't want to mortgage the future. You got to be smart about it. I get all that. The Royals have not had many chances to make the postseason in our lifetime. They have a chance to do that right now. The Royals have a chance of making the postseason. And sure, I don't think that the Royals are going to win the World Series, but with their starting pitching and armed with a once-in-a-generation talent that they have, weirder things have happened. Arizona made the World Series last year. The Royals made the World Series in 2014. Teams come out of nowhere all the time. I am happy to hear that in the baseball world, the Royals are interested in trying to make the postseason. Now, I don't want the Royals to do anything silly, but if you see an opportunity to grab an arm or grab a bat to improve the quality of this roster and give yourself a chance in the fight, then you have to take it. Right now, the Royals are tied for the second wild card spot. They're only 3.5 games back of the first wild card spot. They're only 4 games back in their division. The Royals got a real chance of doing this. So the Royals don't need to be one of the teams that stands firm. No, the Royals need to be a team that sees the deficiencies on their in their roster and in their lineup and goes after it this year. That, again, I'm not saying you got to do anything reckless, but there is a way for you to improve this team and not completely mortgage everything this season. So I am very happy to hear this from Jeff Passan. That is exactly what I want to hear, is that the Royals are interested in getting better. They are trying to be aggressive, and the Royals understand the urgency of the situation. Remember, John Sherman said this when they fired Dayton Moore about, hey, Dayton talks about being a championship club. Let's be a wild card team first. Let's be a team that can compete and can win their division. The 2024 Royals can win their division. They can be a wild card team. They could just use a little bit of help, a little bit of push, a little bump, a little nudge by adding some talent. This is great news if you are a Royals fan, that the Royals are very interested in trying to add to their roster.
I agree with you on the whole, but I think the way we hear that really matters. They're really aggressive in trying to add a bat and add an arm. Does that mean they're really aggressive in hemorrhaging the future or selling big-time pieces to get a big, sexy name? Does that mean Jazz Chisholm is in the fold? Does that mean Luis Robert is a name to keep an eye on? Does that mean Mason Miller, that 100-mile-an-hour fastball reliever of the A's, is, you know, on the Royals' radar? I don't think so. I think the Royals are aggressive in trying to find Hunter Harvey type of moves, which is not sexy. We aren't going to hit the breaking news sounder that they added a Hunter Harvey type or a fourth outfield, hey, utility type player to improve the roster. We're not hitting the breaking news sounder for those things. But I think the Royals understand what they need. They need to improve the Major League roster, but they don't need to give up the farm to do it. Make Hunter Harvey type moves. Add moves, as Vern always says in the pregame show, on the margins that make you better, because that is what's going to win this year and next year and the year after that. Because the other thing John Sherman said, and he said it on the sit down he had with Vern, was he's interested in moves that help the club for this year and beyond. So it's going to be Hunter Harvey with multiple years of control. It's going to be that type of player and not a, it's an extreme example, Johnny Cueto type. I don't think this team is doing that at all.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing that either. I also don't know if they need to do that, but you mentioned Jazz Chisholm as a possibility. I don't know if you got to, quote, sell the farm to go get Jazz Chisholm. Now, he's a 26-year-old outfielder, but you look at his numbers, you look at the kind of player he is. I mean, this isn't the guy that you think you're breaking the bank for. A guy who's never hit 20 home runs in a season, a guy who's not a big run producer for you, also just hasn't played a lot of games in his career. Jazz Chisholm has only has one season where he's played over 100 games. Now, he's going to do that this year. He's played in 98 games. I think he's going to get to 100, but we're talking about a guy that, I mean, for a career hits 247, doesn't hit for a lot of pop, but in this lineup, if you added another guy who could steal bases, another guy who could be a plus defender for you defensively, I think you could add Jazz Chisholm, improve your lineup, and you're not necessarily, quote, selling the farm.
I agree with you on Jazz Chisholm, the player, but I forget who had it on Twitter, and I apologize for forgetting, but he was one of the more sought-after outfield bats in Major League Baseball. And we both know, you know what drives up the price? Bidding wars. It's not just baseball. It's not just trade markets. It's just life. If multiple people want something, the price goes up. Think about secondary ticket market. So if Jazz Chisholm is, in fact, one of the more sought-after outfield bats of the deadline, then the Royals probably shouldn't be in that ballpark, which is fine. Don't hemorrhage the future for Jazz Chisholm, a guy who is good, but as the numbers lay out, is, you know, a flawed player. It's not like they're trading at the deadline for peak Manny Ramirez. That's not the kind of player that they're adding if they added Jazz Chisholm.
Did you see that earlier today there was a little bit of a brouhaha earlier today? You saw that George Karlaftis, he hit Kadarius Toney. And they're not in pads. I know they're going at full speed, but it was a very aggressive hit. And Travis Kelce goes over there. They have a little bit of back and forth. Wasn't anything too serious earlier today at camp. I like to see that stuff from Travis Kelce. We have lived long enough to see Travis Kelce be the young knucklehead to now turn it in to be the OG of the team. George Karlaftis was out of line here. Now it's football practice. Yeah, contact's going to happen here. He went in and he tackled Kadarius Toney today. He tackled him. They're not in pads. They don't get into pads until Friday. I'm happy that somebody on the offense, more especially one of the leaders of the team, you know that's not Mahomes' role to go over there. That's the quarterback. He's not going to be the one to mix it up a little bit. Hollywood Brown just got here, so he's not going to be the one to do it. There's only one person on the offense that you expect to go over there and communicate what was wrong with the defensive player, and it was Travis Kelce. So you're going to see some, oh, they had a fight, oh, it was this. Last year, I thought that Travis Kelce ran a little bit hot in training camp. You remember, he had multiple. He threw a punch at a guy last year at training camp. I thought Kelce ran a little hot last year at training camp. I think Kelce was in the right earlier today. Karlaftis was overly aggressive against a player that you know is fragile. We're only in shirts and a t-shirt here. You know this is not that kind of drill. I don't think Kelce has that response if this happens Friday. Hey, it's football. He got tackled down to the ground. Get up. Keep playing. But for you to knock him to the ground in the way that he did aggressively in a walk-through kind of situation, I think that Kelce was right to go over there and check him.
I mean, goodbye, Kelce. But based on the video I saw, Kadarius Toney definitely exacerbated the situation. Like, I think after the hit, everyone kind of knew, whoops. Like, you even saw Karlaftis do a little, like, my bad move. Like, he had his hands up. Like, he knew he had gone a little overboard. And then Toney stands up and throws the ball to him. Like, Toney made it go from a level 5 fight to a 7.
I actually don't think that Tony's in the wrong there.
I just think he made it worse.
I would love to do that. That was a overly aggressive move for where we are at camp. Like, someone in the text line says it's not a tackle. That is absolutely a tackle. It's absolutely a tackle. He runs into him and pushes him to the ground. That's a tackle. What are we talking about here? He didn't wrap him up and drive him into the ground, but we see that play happen in football games all the time. That's a tackle. They're not at the tackling part of it. So if I'm out here, it's 95 degrees, I'm not expecting to get tackled because no one is at this point, and I get tackled in that scenario, yeah, I'm getting up and I'm kind of mad too as a football player. Now, he wasn't getting up throwing punches or anything. But, yeah, in that scenario, if I'm the offensive player, I am responding the exact same way that Kadarius Toney did. I got up. I threw the ball at him. We had a little altercation. They broke it up. It's training camp. It's not that big of a deal.
So you think Kelce was more of a peacemaker, and it's not something where he and Karlaftis have bad blood?
No, I just think it's football practice. I just think it's football practice. It's football practice. And when it's 95 degrees outside and you've been out here for 2 hours and something happens, sometimes words are going to be exchanged, pushes are going to happen. I mean, I don't have it in me to be overly upset about what happened. More than anything, I'm just happy that Kelce was the one that went over there and said something. I think that Karlaftis is in the wrong in this scenario. So one of the veterans on the offensive side of the ball needed to communicate that to the young guy. And that's exactly what happened. And that's, to me, that's proper leadership. And that's how you should be handling these scenarios. You noticed there wasn't a lot of coaches that got in the middle of this. The Chiefs figured it out. Hey, we had a problem. We had a little brouhaha afterwards. We're all men here. We dap each other up. Hey, my bad. Hey, it's all good. Let's just keep going. Let's keep winning. I think this is a nothing on a scale from 1 to 10. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's continue to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Juwan Taylor met with the media. He had a lot of penalties last year. We'll hear what he had to say about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. I want to read a tweet to you guys. This information comes from Jeff Passan of ESPN, who has become the best baseball reporter in the world. Quote, the Royals remain interested in adding another late inning reliever and also a bat. They would prefer to grab an outfielder. Quote, the Royals are among the game's most active teams looking for upgrades. Man, is that encouraging to hear. You know what? I like hearing that the Royals understand the sense of urgency of the situation. Now, I know what the text line is probably going to say. You don't want to mortgage the future. You got to be smart about it. I get all that. The Royals have not had many chances to make the postseason in our lifetime. They have a chance to do that right Now, the Royals have a chance of making the postseason. And sure, I don't think that the Royals are going to win the World Series, but with their starting pitching and armed with a once-in-a-generation talent that they have, weirder things have happened. Arizona made the World Series last year. The Royals made the World Series in 2014. Teams come out of nowhere all the time. I am happy to hear that in the baseball world, the Royals are interested in trying to make the postseason. Now, I don't want the Royals to do anything silly, but if you see an opportunity to grab an arm or grab a bat to improve the quality of this roster and give yourself a chance in the fight, then you have to take it. Right now, the Royals are tied for the second wild card spot. They're only 3.5 games back of the first wild card spot. They're only 4 games back in their division. The Royals got a real chance of doing this. So the Royals don't need to be one of the teams that stands firm. No, the Royals need to be a team that sees the deficiencies on their in their roster and in their lineup and goes after it this year. That, again, I'm not saying you got to do anything reckless, but there is a way for you to improve this team and not completely mortgage everything this season. So I am very happy to hear this from Jeff Passan. That is exactly what I want to hear, is that the Royals are interested in getting better. They are trying to be aggressive, and the Royals understand the urgency of the situation. Remember, John Sherman said this when they fired Dayton Moore about, hey, Dayton talks about being a championship club. Let's be a wild card team first. Let's be a team that can compete and can win their division. The 2024 Royals can win their division. They can be a wild card team. They could just use a little bit of help, a little bit of push, a little bump, a little nudge by adding some talent. This is great news if you are a Royals fan, that the Royals are very interested in trying to add to their roster.
I agree with you on the whole, but I think the way we hear that really matters. They're really aggressive in trying to add a bat and add an arm. Does that mean they're really aggressive in hemorrhaging the future or selling big-time pieces to get a big, sexy name? Does that mean Jazz Chisholm is in the fold? Does that mean Luis Robert is a name to keep an eye on? Does that mean Mason Miller, that 100-mile-an-hour fastball reliever of the A's, is, you know, on the Royals' radar? I don't think so. I think the Royals are aggressive in trying to find Hunter Harvey type of moves, which is not sexy. We aren't going to hit the breaking news sounder that they added a Hunter Harvey type or a fourth outfield, hey, utility type player to improve the roster. We're not hitting the breaking news sounder for those things. But I think the Royals understand what they need. They need to improve the Major League roster, but they don't need to give up the farm to do it. Make Hunter Harvey-type moves. Add moves, as Vern always says in the pregame show, on the margins that make you better, because that is what's going to win this year and next year and the year after that. Because the other thing John Sherman said, and he said it on the sit-down he had with Vern, was he's interested in moves that help the club for this year and beyond. So it's going to be Hunter Harvey with multiple years of control. It's going to be that type of player and not a, it's an extreme example, Johnny Cueto type. I don't think this team is doing that at all.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing that either. I also don't know if they need to do that, but you mentioned Jazz Chisholm as a possibility. I don't know if you got to, quote, sell the farm to go get Jazz Chisholm. Now, he's a 26-year-old outfielder, but you look at his numbers, you look at the kind of player he is. I mean, this isn't the guy that you think you're breaking the bank for. A guy who's never hit 20 home runs in a season, a guy who's not a big run producer for you, also just hasn't played a lot of games in his career. Jazz Chisholm has only has one season where he's played over 100 games. Now, he's going to do that this year. He's played in 98 games. I think he's going to get to 100, but we're talking about a guy that, I mean, for a career hits .247, doesn't hit for a lot of pop, but in this lineup, if you added another guy who could steal bases, another guy who could be a plus defender for you defensively, I think you could add Jazz Chisholm, improve your lineup, and you're not necessarily, quote, selling the farm.
I agree with you on Jazz Chisholm, the player, but I forget who had it on Twitter, and I apologize for forgetting. But he was one of the more sought-after outfield bats in Major League Baseball. And we both know, you know what drives up the price? Bidding wars. That's just That's the it's not just baseball. It's not just trade markets. It's just life. If multiple people won something, the price goes up. Think about secondary ticket market. So if Jazz Chisholm is, in fact, one of the more sought-after outfield bats at the deadline, then the Royals probably shouldn't be in that ballpark, which is fine. Don't hemorrhage the future for Jazz Chisholm, a guy who is good, but as the numbers lay out, is, you know, a flawed player. It's not like they're trading at the deadline for peak Manny Ramirez. That's not the kind of player that they're adding if they added Jazz Chisholm.
Did you see that earlier today there was a... There was a little bit of a brouhaha earlier today. You saw that George Karlaftis, he hit Kadarius Toney, and they're not in pads. I know they're going at full speed, but it was a very aggressive hit. And Travis Kelce goes over there. They have a little bit of back and forth. Wasn't anything too serious earlier today at camp. I like to see that stuff from Travis Kelce. We have lived long enough to see Travis Kelce be the young knucklehead to now turn it in to be the OG of the team. George Karlaftis was out of line here. Now it's football practice. Yeah, contact's going to happen here. He went in and he tackled Kadarius Toney today. He tackled him. They're not in pads. They don't get into pads until Friday. I'm happy that somebody on the offense, more especially one of the leaders of the team, you know that's not Mahomes' role to go over there. That's the quarterback. He's not going to be the one to mix it up a little bit. Hollywood Brown just got here, so he's not going to be the one to do it. There's only one person on the offense that you expect to go over there and communicate what was wrong with the defensive player, and it was Travis Kelce. So you're going to see some, oh, they had a fight, oh, it was this. Last year, I thought that Travis Kelce ran a little bit hot in training camp. You remember, he threw a punch at a guy last year at training camp. I thought Kelce ran a little hot last year at training camp. I think Kelce was in the right earlier today. Karlaftis was overly aggressive against a player that you know is fragile. We're only in shirts and a t-shirt here. You know this is not that kind of drill. I don't think Kelce has that response if this happens Friday. Hey, it's football. He got tackled down to the ground. Get up. Keep playing. But for you to knock him to the ground in the way that he did aggressively in a walk-through kind of situation, I think that Kelce was right to go over there and check him.
I mean, goodbye, Kelce. But based on the video I saw, Kadarius Toney definitely exacerbated the situation. Like, I think after the hit, everyone kind of knew, whoops. Like, you even saw Karlaftis do a little, like, my bad move. Like, he had his hands up. Like, he knew he had gone a little overboard. And then Toney stands up and throws the ball to him. Like, Toney made it go from a level 5 fight to a 7.
I actually don't think that Tony's in the wrong there.
I just think he made it worse.
I would love to do that. That was a overly aggressive move for where we are at camp. Like, someone in the text line says it's not a tackle. That is absolutely a tackle. It's absolutely a tackle. He runs into him and pushes him to the ground. That's a tackle. What are we talking about here? He didn't wrap him up and drive him into the ground, but we see that play happen in football games all the time. That's a tackle. They're not at the tackling part of it. So if I'm out here, it's 95 degrees, I'm not expecting to get tackled because no one is at this point, and I get tackled in that scenario. Yeah, I'm getting up and I'm kind of mad too as a football player. Now, he wasn't getting up throwing punches or anything, but yeah, in that scenario, if I'm the offensive player, I am responding the exact same way that Kadarius Toney did. I got up, I threw the ball at him, we had a little altercation, they broke it up, it's training camp, it's not that big of a deal.
So you think Kelce was more of a peacemaker and it's not something where he and Karlaftis have bad blood?
No, I just think it's football practice. I just think it's football practice. It's football practice. And when it's 95 degrees outside and you've been out here for 2 hours and something happens, sometimes words are going to be exchanged, pushes are going to happen. I mean, I don't have it in me to be overly upset about what happened. More than anything, I'm just happy that Kelce was the one that went over there and said something. I think that Karlaftis is in the wrong in this scenario. So one of the veterans on the offensive side of the ball needed to communicate that to the young guy. And that's exactly what happened. And that's, to me, that's proper leadership. And that's how you should be handling these scenarios. You notice there wasn't a lot of coaches that got in the middle of this. The Chiefs figured it out. hey, we had a problem. We had a little brouhaha afterwards. We're all men here. We dap each other up. Hey, my bad. Hey, it's all good. Let's just keep going. Let's keep winning. I think this is a nothing on a scale from 1 to 10. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's continue to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Juwan Taylor met with the media. He had a lot of penalties last year. We'll hear what he had to say about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.